Yeah, baby. Good morning. It is a Thursday. That means it is time for the Curry and Claypool Show. Dr. Josh Claypool will join me here in just a few minutes. We do this live every Thursday, and it works out real well because we do our show here on Facebook. You can, of course, listen to all of our podcasts through the Tony Curry Radio podcast platform on Spotify. Go to Spotify and search Tony Curry Radio. That's Curry with a K. And we have over 100 episodes of all of our great shows that you can hear live on Tony Curry Radio, which is the Tony Curry Radio app. Everything's Tony Curry. Just pull up Tony Curry Radio and you'll find whatever you're looking for. Download the Tony Curry Radio app. You get to Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart on Mondays. It runs noon and 8. And again, our podcast on Spotify. You get Adapt or Perish with Alex Hublin and Dr. Josh Claypool from Adaptogen. They do a fantastic show on mainframe stuff and everything else. It's incredible. It runs at noon and 8 on Tuesday. And again, you can go to Spotify and listen to any of the previous episodes. There's over 20 episodes there. On Wednesdays, last night, man, Kai Gregory reached out to me. Fantastic show. It was all blues songs from AC/DC. It was unbelievable. We do a Live Wire Wednesday show every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We do that live. Last week, we did songs with Gunfire. We did every song, there's like a million songs that AC/DC has written that have firepower. Everything from Those About to Rock to Just Shoot and everything else. Shoot the Thrill was fantastic. Last night we did all blues songs brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing for all your staffing needs. 205-682-2828. It was a fantastic show. Also on Wednesdays we do a show called Mission Minded with Michael Coleman. He's the executive director of course, the Jimmy Hale Mission. We do a show about non-for-profits. Fantastic show. If you're a business owner, and even if you're not a non-for-profit, this is a great, if you're a for-profit, this is a great show to listen to. We do that on Wednesdays. And again, all those episodes up on Spotify. Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks, good friends with Billy F. Gibbons, BFG. We do that show every Thursday at noon and 8. And then, of course, on Friday, we tag team you, we double team you here with the Damon Johnson Show, which runs at noon and 8. Damon, of course, getting back together with his old bandmates from Brother Kane. They'll be back on the road. Actually, they're starting later on this month, I think, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they're going to be back on the road in 2023 full-time. So we got that going on. And then, of course, we also have a show called When in Rome with Stuart Rome. That show airs every single Friday as well. A little hybrid of show that makes you look good, feel good, and sound good. It's a great show. Stuart and I talk about everything from spring breaks to St. Paddy's Days, to summer stuff coming up, and then we play 6 or 7 songs during those that hour, too, so that airs every single Friday as well. And again, go to Spotify, listen to any of our podcasts. We have well over 100 shows. Those shows go on. Dr. Josh is going to join me here in a second. We have a monster show for you today. We're going to talk some Tiger Woods. We're getting ready for the Masters. And, of course, we're going to talk some transgender sports. We'll be bumping some heads there. I like where it's going. Life ain't fair. It's the way it is. We'll talk about that. And also the Eagles are kicking back up their tour in Columbus, Ohio. They're going to be without one of their bandmates. We'll mention that coming up in just a few minutes. And speaking of Tiger Woods, we'll also be talking about that on Fox 6 News this morning with Janice Rogers, Toy, of course, Mike Dubs, and also Mickey Ferguson, the entire crew on Good Morning Alabama. We'll be doing that show a little bit later on this morning at 9:35, so make sure you check it out. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then. We do our Facebook Live every single week on Thursday mornings, and we get into it. Nothing's taboo around here. We'll cut through to it. We get intimate with it. And as soon as Josh sits down, I want to talk about Tiger Woods being an alien. Tiger Woods is not human. If you want to know if aliens live among us, just look at one Tiger Woods, because it's an impossibility. It's impossible that he's going to be playing in the Masters this weekend. I think his higher being from the starship, like 50 million miles away, told Tiger, you must perform this weekend in the Masters somehow. You tell me how a guy could be in the hospital for 3 months.
We think he was in the hospital.
He was in the hospital for 3 months.
We don't know that.
Well, he said he was.
Yeah, but it could have been an alien.
It was alien kings have told him, tell everyone you've been in the hospital for 3 months. Now, we don't see Tiger Woods outside the golf course.
That's what
he's been real. Now, if he walking, stumbling on the side of the road or getting a 9-iron upside the head, we don't hear about Tiger Woods, which is really interesting to me because he may not be of this earth during that time period. He may have gone on a spaceship, gone up there, and they fixed him up, and they came back and said, you know, act like you're having a hard time walking, talk about maybe being crippled for the rest of your life, and then we'll fix you up a week before the Masters. It's incredible. You're talking about a guy who has had 5 back surgeries. Anybody out there had a back surgery? I've got lower back problems. I've got them right now. I broke my back about 10 years ago. And I was told by all my doctor friends that the last thing you want to do is have back surgery. It's the last thing you want to do. You don't. Right. You want to do it. Blocks, chiropractors.
Right.
You want to do everything you possibly can, but a back surgery is the last thing you want to do because that's it. Because if it don't work, you're done.
Well, unless you have 5.
He's had 5 of those. He's also had 5 surgeries on his legs.
Incredible.
Including his knees. And, of course, a lot of that had to do with his car crash that he had last year. But, yeah, he was in the hospital from last February, March, and April, something like that? Less than a year ago.
And right, and that surgery was not, I mean, that wasn't, you know, ACL. That was his legs were shattered.
Yeah. Throw in the cosmetic he probably had to have upside his head after he took that 9-iron, and he's had a shitload of surgeries.
And it looks...
And people are like, are you surprised? I'm like, no. We used to do the sports shows on Jay Show, Jay Barker Radio Network, on Tuesday. We talked about, are you surprised? Isn't it amazing? I said, no. I said, you could put a bullet in his head, and he'll be playing golf next weekend. It's just amazing that and I don't know if it's his genetics. Well, obviously, his genetics ain't great because he's had back issues. But it's just incredible that he's going to be playing golf. And, of course, you know, the fact that he's won 5 green jackets, the one most recently 3 years ago in 2019, which was impossible.
Right.
We used to always throw the old joke, is hell going to freeze over or is Tiger Woods going to win another major? Yep. And it wasn't the Masters. It was like any major, any of the 4. And we were like, he's never winning another major. And then 14 years in between majors, he wins one. And it just so happens it's his 5th Masters. It's incredible. It's
crazy. And look at him. Like, in addition to all of that you just said.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen many golfers who don't look like the physical specimen that he is. So if you think about all the back surgeries, the car accidents, you think about all of that.
Yeah.
On any other person, we would expect, A, that they would never play golf again. Okay, that would. Then B, it was, okay, incredible athlete. We would expect him to look a little worse for the wear.
Yeah.
Maybe a little limp.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little. There's, I mean, if there's anything there, you can't see it. I mean, I've never seen. He looks. I mean, I guess I haven't seen side by side pictures. Mm-hmm. But he looks.
No, the neck down, he looks incredible. His face is aging quite a bit.
Well, that's right.
But he's 46. He's losing some hair.
But who cares about that?
I mean, and just to put it in perspective, if you look at the betting lines right now, people are betting on Tiger Woods to win the Masters. They feel like if he's in there, he's certainly got a shoe in. And I think it's like plus 110 or something like that for him to make the cut, which is incredible. I think all Augusta and the Masters and golf fans in general could hope for is that he's there on Saturday and Sunday, even if he's 20 strokes behind.
Right.
Just get to the Masters on Saturday and Sunday so I can see Tiger Woods play. And I'm just like, it's just an amazing. And it would not surprise me at all if he wins again. Some people think that's crazy. If he did it back in 2019, there's no reason to think he can't do it again because he's just got that whatever it is. The other thing is and when we were on the show on Tuesday, there was a gentleman in there, his name was AD, he was a basketball guy, and he's like, man, just think about how great Tiger would have been had he not had all these issues. The infidelity, the sex addiction, the car crash, the arrest, you know, the back surgeries, the knee surgeries, just think how many. And I said, you know, maybe that's why he is so successful. And he kind of looked at me. I said, this is something I need to ask Dr. Josh Claypo, because psychologically, get this. I got a lot of friends of mine who are like top of the line in their profession. Their skill set is so unbelievable. It's not all athletic.
Mm-hmm.
But they are unbelievably skilled at what they do. But the outside of their life is chaos.
Yes.
They've got all kinds of issues. I'm like, dude, you're so good at this.
Oh,
and you're a millionaire. How the hell, why can't you get this other crap together?
You selling me with my clients.
But when they get it together, it's almost like it's a deviation away from their normal life. And it's something that when they get into it, they have their he wasn't thinking about infidelity when he was on hole 13 back in 1997, whatever it is. He is so focused on his game at that particular time that it's almost like it benefits him to have that outside chaos. Am I crazy?
A little bit.
Okay.
So I definitely agree with you. Elite athletes have the ability to zero in on what they're doing most of the time, so much so, and I remember saying this to you on another show, that I said, if you take an elite athlete like a Tiger Woods, we know that they're sort of genetically, or I'm sorry, physically not normal.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Michael Phelps, they're not normal.
Yeah.
Psychologically, they're also not normal. And what I mean by that is, it's not just their talent and their ability to focus, but they are obsessed.
Yeah.
They do very often have other parts of their lives falling apart, or at the very least are challenged, because they, the only way that they get to, and I'm talking the height of the height, the most elite.
Yeah.
They become obsessed in a crazy way. Mm-hmm. Like nothing else matters. The world is falling down around them. Now, I'm not saying about this about every single athlete. Not every athlete. Like, and there are definitely elite athletes. And when I mean elite, the LeBron James, the ADs, all the that aren't that way. But there's a group of athletes who can absolutely, it's almost like they transport themselves to to another state of being. It's like another persona. And what I mean by that also is, it's not just in the moment, right? It's not just the 13th hole. When it comes to golf, he is obsessed, mm-hmm. for good or bad. Now, you know, we've seen the Andre Agassi's of the world. We've seen stories about obsessions that were not driven by the joy of the game. But there was a quote, just a recent statement. I remember he was talking to him about, you know, play or not play. And he said this. He's like, I love this game.
Yeah.
I love this game. And to your point, though, it may be, I mean, he loves his kids and all that kind of stuff. Right now, this may be his hope. Like, this is his hope. There's so many bad things that have happened in his life.
Yeah.
Both in the past, but also just physically. This may be the way, you know, you take golf away from a Tiger Woods, potentially, mm-hmm. and I don't know, and he dies.
Yeah.
He's just, that's it. He's done. Now, you know, people disagree with me. Yeah, maybe. Is he going to die? I don't know exactly. But this is, and particularly, if I'm going to agree with you, particularly when everything is just so bad,
yeah.
This is the one good thing.
There's two things that kind of play out to me, too. The first of all, that at his age, and of course, the last guy to win a Masters at his age was Jack Nicklaus back in 1986, and that was like, Jack was like a ceremonial type of play in that particular thing. He was playing the Masters, I mean, still a game, obviously, he won, but that was unheard of. That would never happen again. Tiger Woods doesn't look like Jack Nicklaus did back in 1986.
No.
He didn't have the plaid short pants and all that stuff. The other thing I think is really interesting is if you look at his life, you know, we define somebody by what they do for a living when they're at that level. You know, I look at, you know, we'll talk about Glenn Frey, the Eagles, coming up here shortly, God rest his soul. But
yeah.
We define that person by what they do for their living because that's what we know of them.
That's right? Exactly. That's a good
and so
point.
When we hear about those other things, that's why Instagram and all these things are so right. powerful because we can see them behind
look,
the scenes.
Look, they go to the grocery store.
They go to the grocery store. They eat deviled eggs. Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. Please repost that. You're like, so we know him as golf. And so what you need to realize is,
oh,
it's life.
There's right? and so a lot of it.
No, I'm not saying that his life has been normal.
Oh,
but
you're right.
So a lot of people have been through back surgeries. People yes. that have had car wrecks.
Yes.
People that have had drug addictions.
Yes.
People that have gone through infidelity.
Yes.
His life is life.
Yes.
And it just so happens that it's there's a glaring spotlight on his life because he is Tiger Woods. And so we just assume that because of all these things, how in the world is he actually playing golf? But it's life. Life is much bigger than what his golf is. And at the age of 46,
this is interesting. I like where you're going with this.
Kind of feeling like he's more likely halfway home.
Yes.
He's reached the apex, unless he lives to be 93. So he's on the downside. He's on the second half of his life.
Could you say this? So one of the things we talk about, I talk about this a lot with my clients, this idea of mastery. Not the Masters, but mastery. You know, you've been doing this job for, you've been doing this profession for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're good at it. You're really good at it. You figured out how to do this. So with all the other stuff that may be going on in your life, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes there's nothing going on, it may impact your job and it affects the way, but you're so good at your job that you can just do it. Now, you may not be at your peak, but you definitely can do it. Well, if you think about an athlete, even at the elite levels, they may not be playing or performing at their best, but they're so damn good at what they do, just like any one of us that have done a job for a long period of time, that we probably don't need 110% of our effort. Yep. That we don't have to be at the peak of everything. I give you, use you as an example. You can come on air. You're always prepared. And you're always, I know.
I try,
But, you know, if you've had a bad night, you didn't sleep too well, you got stuff going on with your kids, all that kind of stuff. You can come on air, and the majority of the population is going to have absolutely no idea that you're not at the peak of your game on that day.
True.
You won't look, you know, no, in fact, nobody will know. You'll know. But a lot of that comes because when we master a skill, we don't have to put all of our effort into it. And people are like, oh, well, you can't do it. How do elite athletes do it? Because they're damn good. They don't have to keep... They do not have to do 100%. We've seen athletes play injured. Tiger Woods is a great example. He is not 100%. He's still going to play good, you know. And again, who's going to win the Masters? Whoever's going to win the Masters, if I'm trying to equate this to like a life, on that day or these 3 days, they're at the top of their game. This is you on a sales cycle killing it this month. But the month before, you did fine. You just didn't do the best. That is how, that's mastery. And it's, you know, the thing is, people, a lot of times, people will feel guilty about it. Oh my God, I'm not putting in enough effort. You know, I'm not getting, Tiger wouldn't have to put in 100% effort.
Well, with Tiger, too, is it's all gravy from this point on.
Exactly.
The guy's won 5 Masters and untold, what is he, won 15 major championships. I mean, he could do nothing. The fact that he's even there is a win.
Yes.
Right? And so he's getting that benefit. It's funny because, you know, you got all these, he's 46 years old. He won his first Masters when he was in college.
Oh, I thought I was going to say like 12.
Right? And so, well, close. He won the first, he was the first guy to win the Grand Slam, or known as the Tiger Slam, right out of college. And it just makes you wonder, there's a lot of golfers out there that should be like this when he walks in, because the money would not be near where it's at.
That's right.
He's done an incredible job for African Americans being involved in a lot of different sports, including golf. And but I mean, if you're one of these young and up whippersnappers, and like the Rorys and those guys like that, they're not young anymore.
No,
they're in their mid 30s, and they're still seeing this guy come in and like, geez, and he steals all the thunder. Even his practice rounds, he's stealing all the thunder, and it's got to piss you off a little bit, because I know how competitive these guys are.
Yeah.
They appreciate being
there. Well, they always say
there.
It's good for the game.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, it's good. No, but it's good for the game.
There will not be another athlete in any sport, I think of Alex Smith almost losing his leg and coming back and playing. There won't be any other athlete in the world that will go through the shit he went through, and he's still doing his craft, and he's favored to win at the highest level. It will never happen. Tom Brady is 44 years old, 45 years old, but he ain't had a car wreck. He hadn't had an 9-iron upside the head. He hasn't had sex addiction. He hasn't gone through infidelity. He hasn't gotten pulled over with drugs in the car.
But can I say, by the way, he's also an alien. I'm convinced he's going to the same mothership.
They're on the same mothership. Yeah, they're the same age. They probably came from the same alien womb, the same... Whatever it is, Jabba the Hutt looking thing probably gave birth to both Tom Brady and they probably said, listen, we already know what's going to happen here. One of you is going to have a really hard time, but you're both going to be super successful, but one's going to have
like
a tough
biblical
road.
This sounds like
so
biblical.
There's no one that can be through everything that Tiger Woods has been through and be on top of the game, not from an athletic situation. If you're the president of IBM or whatever, sure, you use your brain's good till you're 65, you can get after it, but I mean, we're never going to see it again. And from that standpoint, you know, think about another golfer, and they want to have their legacy somewhere remotely close to what Tiger Woods has gone through. You don't have to win the most majors at this point. You just look at what, and it'll be, well, he put it on himself. He did, but that's life, because we all have crap that we do.
That's what makes people both, you know, it's interesting. Love him, you know, and Tiger is pretty polarizing. Love him or hate him. Your last statement was really important. That last thing you just said was really important. Well, he put it on himself. So on the one hand, we like to say, well, look at all these things that that he's gone through, and look where he still is. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. The other thing is, the other side of it is, there's a ton of envy. look at all this crap. Not,
yeah.
See, it's different. If things had happened, well, and this is hard to say, but if things had happened to him only,
mm-hmm.
we would go, look, he's overcome the most adversity. He is our hero.
We would prop him up a little higher.
Now we're like, now there's a, you know.
Because pretty much everything bad that's happened to Tiger Woods has been on him.
You're right. But yes.
We like that because...
No, we don't. But see, that's what I mean. So I think people, I think there's more jealousy. Because it's almost as if, given all these things you've done wrong, you shouldn't be here.
No.
You shouldn't be here. Now, I'm going to just complicate it just a little bit. Because mm-hmm. this is where it gets psychologically confusing. Well, how did he get to the point where he did all these things wrong? This is where your upbringing...
Life.
Yeah. Well, and upbringing. He's got to see it a strange life. I've told you this. Celebrities, child prodigies in anything.
He was on Johnny Carson when he was...
Michael Jackson. I mean, yeah. I'm equating because it is a bizarro life. If you put somebody, take a human and stick them in a bizarre, out of the norm, completely, and in sometimes, some ways, psychologically, maybe physically toxic,
mm-hmm.
they ain't going to turn out 100%. Like, we all got our problems, we all got our traumas, but very few of us have the abnormal life that a Tiger Woods does.
You know what's really interesting, too? We talked about this yesterday. If he's been on the spaceship for, like, the last 9 months since he got out of the hospital, because we had to keep an eye on him, right? Tiger Woods is an athlete, but he's a celebrity.
Right.
And I was trying to think to myself, you know, you never see him. Unless he's on a golf course, you never
he's
see Tiger
PR.
Woods. Now, we have seen him on the side of the road.
Yeah.
We've heard some infidelities. But we don't see him. We don't see him going out to dinner. Nope. Normally, the paparazzi would be all over him. I don't know if he's hermited and he's encapsulated and he doesn't get near anybody or doesn't go out and do any of his own things. But you can make an argument like LeBron James. I don't see any paparazzi following him. Is it because he's so accessible because they're playing a game and we see them and we don't care about them?
The only time I follow LeBron, I mean, like, you see LeBron when he goes to his kids' games. Then everybody goes crazy. But that's it.
Not newsworthy.
But that's it. Yeah. Right. When he's walking down the street, it's not.
Maybe it's because we see them a lot more. We see LeBron every three nights. And so it's like we don't need to see him out at. But if it's Leonardo DiCaprio going out and
that is true. Well, that's a good point.
Because we only see him on the movie screen for a couple hours.
But it is interesting how Tiger has been so insulated. I mean, I don't know if it's a great PR team.
I hadn't heard a word until about a month ago.
Yeah, no pictures, no nothing.
Saw him on his walker, saw him swinging a club.
But even those were like,
yeah,
I wouldn't call them staged. But by the way, they were commenting this morning. You know what they're worried about with Tiger? Things that you can appreciate, I can appreciate this. Number one, this is a really interesting analogy. It's like a football game. Given the duration, he may do great in the first round, yeah. But the real question is, like a football player, like a basketball player who's coming back, what's his stamina going to be like in the third round or whatnot? The other thing they were saying is it's cold.
Yeah.
Or is it cold? So his arthritis is going to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
We know.
You've had a lot of surgery, man. You know how.
Well, they're serious. They're like, yeah.
But you know,
that's the other thing. You never see. Now, I don't know what the PGA rules are. And I know we had the. Remember the golfer, and I'm blanking on his name right now. I'm sorry. Who had the neuropathic problem, so that he had to ride in a cart.
Yeah.
It was a whole big controversy.
He wouldn't allow it. Yeah.
Do we ever see? Do we ever see any golfers like in between holes? Taking treatment, you know, like tennis players will, like, in between a set, they'll have something iced down, or they'll take a timeout. And do you ever see that?
No. Well,
is it not allowed?
First of all, you only have, I think, like 2.5 minutes to get from one hole to the next. So there's not
like
any treatment there, and even the old guys still walk, and some of them ride as well. But I like the fact they make them walk because I sure as hell ain't walking.
No, if you want, I've walked just 18 holes. It's tiring.
These guys play 36 without, you know. But yeah, you're talking about basically 3 hours a day. And obviously, I have to do practice and things like that. So you like to think you could keep it together. Speaking of rules, you brought this up. This perfect transition.
Yeah.
Among some of the rules at the Masters, you know, it's unlike any other place.
Yeah.
They've got the cheese pimento sandwiches.
Ugh.
Huh?
I'm borrowing from the north.
These are some of the rules if you're heading over to the Masters. I got a couple friends of mine that are going over there. The legendary pimento cheese sandwiches, only $1.50 a beer, will set you back $5. It's gone up $1 since last year.
But the pimento cheese they're holding?
Yeah, at $1.50. You can ask for no autographs.
Right.
These are rules that are unlike any other tour event, period. Right. Even other majors. No cell phones.
Yes, I've heard that.
No cameras.
Nope.
No beepers. Do those still exist?
Beepers. Nobody has beeper.
Says, should you be visiting from the year 1992? Well, if you're an alien. Also, you can bring your own chair.
That's nice.
But it can't have armrests.
Why?
And these are strict rules.
Anyway, yeah, but why? Does it
because
say?
It takes up too much room.
Okay. I thought they were just being random.
No, you can bring a chair, but it cannot have armrest.
It doesn't take up that much room.
You want to watch with your young child? No problem, but no strollers.
Carry that child. Make his ass
you
walk.
A three-year-old dude. You want to talk about guys walking 18 holes. Imagine walking with a three-year-old all day long.
You're not bringing your three-year-old.
There are no signs. There are no coolers. No backpacks are tolerated. And by the way, if you get caught with any of these things, you're out of there. You are allowed to wear a fitness tracker, though, which might be useful to keep track of your heart rate as you work to not break any rules. There are no heckling rules. I love this.
No heckling rules or no heckling?
No, there's a no heckling rule.
Oh.
You cannot heckle.
Okay.
And I love that. And again...
What's the other tour?
They're getting the whole thing, dude. Please stop. I hate that guy. There is no lying on the grass.
Can you stand on the grass?
You can stand on the grass, but you cannot, like, lie down. You can either sit in a chair or sit in the grass, but you can't lie down.
Take up too much room?
Takes up too much room.
Crushes too much grass?
Crushes too much grass. So those are some of the rules.
I love that. The whole Masters. Okay.
Hey, man, private club, they can do whatever they want.
I know. It's just so... We love our sports, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Of all the ones you said, the armrest thing is the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Now, I understand if it was, you know, we got these major loungers now where you got an umbrella and you got six things. I get that.
Yeah.
But, like, your armrests don't take up...
We were playing the Pro-Am out at the Regions Charity Classic. We used to play it every year with Al Jay and myself in the opening drive. I didn't play. I got invited every year, but I didn't play for like the first 7 years we did it because it scared the hell out of me.
I know.
I'm a lousy golfer. I'm a hacker. I can hit a good shot once in a while, but I just did not want to play. And Jay Barker was like, dude, you need to go out there and play. You're playing with these seniors. I played with Jim Thorpe, and I'll tell you a Curtis Strange story. And so the first year I played, I said, I'll play. And he goes, it's great. But I mean, you're teeing off. I teed off right after Taylor Hicks did.
Yeah.
And of course, Taylor just won American Idol. He brought a hell of a crowd with him. There's probably 700-800 people on either side of the fairway.
You're making me
50
nervous.
Yards down.
You're making me nervous.
And I'm like, and I didn't want to hurt anybody.
Right.
You know? And, so I said, please let me go first. Let me just get it out. And thank God I hit it straight. The second time, I got a little cocky. I thought I could do this and almost killed a family. I hit a branch and it fell where they were sitting having a picnic. And so Curtis Strange and Al and I played in a Pro-Am. And I got that big trophy up there. That's the one that we won when we played with Jim Thorpe. And Curtis is great. He's got this demeanor about him that he's kind of cranky and angry. Maybe it's because of some of his commentary. And I love watching him on the Golf Channel. He's softened quite a bit. This was 15 years ago. And so we get out there, and the first hole, he's like, I want to tell a joke. And he told this joke that was so off color and non-politically correct. It was like, I mean, before we could even have pleasantries, and I laughed because I thought it was funny. Jay was like, and Al kind of chuckled. He's like, okay, I know where we're at now, you know, because on a golf course, golf courses are great places to get to know people. I'm playing in a tournament with Chris Creek up at the club at Lakeview on Saturday. I can't wait. We're going to go up there and raise some money for his wonderful private club up there. The club at Lakeview on their Facebook page is great, theclubatlakeview.com. And business deals are great. You can really find out where a guy comes from. You can see how he reacts when he gets frustrated. Yes. You can really learn a lot about a guy on a golf course. I bet you more business deals have been closed on golf courses than ever. So we get out there, and I had made a long putt, and I went up there and put my arm around Curtis, and he was like, "Don't touch me. I don't like to be touched." And I was like, because I thought we were warming up to each other, and I was the goofball.
Right.
People were running beers out to me, you know, because we were out there at where the old Regis Charity Classic used to be out there, Greystone, and people knew me, and they're like, "Tony Curry," and they're bringing beers. They're like, "Yeah, a lot of people know you." And I'm like, "Yeah." So I was having a good time, and we got up there, and so after nine holes, I had to leave to go do my afternoon show on the rock station. I was doing mornings and then did the rock thing. And he got really upset with me that I was leaving in the middle of a round of golf. He's like, "You don't leave in the middle of a round of golf." I mean, he was really pissed off. And I was like, "I'm sorry, I got to go to work. I really appreciate it." And he's like, "Whatever, fine, you know, whatever." So that was on Friday. So the Saturday after, I took Santo, my youngest son. I think at the time he was like three or four. He was young enough that I was holding him. And I tracked Curtis down on the golf course and didn't know how he would react. He went out of his way to walk around a green just to come over and see me, talk to my son for a few minutes. The handler was like, "Come on, Curtis, we got to go." You know, it was on television. It was the first round of, of the senior tournament. I think it was on ESPN or something like that, or NBC, whatever. And they're like, "You got to go." And we were on television, and he was talking to my son, and he's like, "I had a great time yesterday. Remember my name?" One of the guys had put some sunscreen on my ear, and I looked like something about Mary. I had a big goop of stuff hanging from my ear, and we laughed about that. And it was just a great moment. And from that moment on, I was like, he's a super nice guy. Curtis Strange, super nice guy. But he took time out to come out. People were trying to get his autograph and everything else, and so he spent about 3 months.
What's behind that?
No, nothing. He's just a hell of a nice guy. I mean,
no, wasn't a nice guy on the first.
Well, but
what is that? That's weird.
It may have been his aura or his character that he was playing. I don't know what it was, but he was a super nice guy. But and to that point, every time I saw him after that, he always remembered who I was.
Didn't you ask him?
What's that?
Why'd you get all bent out of shape when I touched him?
No, I mean,
I had to go work my job. Why are you giving me crap about that?
He was. Talk about one of our great sponsors, and I want to talk about how transgender sports are not holding water. Pun intended.
I know. That's why I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you about Driscoll Dre, John Gray. So I've had a lot of, recently I've had a lot of movement around some things that I'm doing with my job and my other finances. And, you know, I got a kid who's overseas. And John Gray is absolutely one of the best money managers I've ever seen, because he never asks you which mutual fund you want to be in. Or he never asks you, you know, are you risk averse or not? He literally starts asking questions about your life.
Yeah.
What are your kids doing? And it's not pleasantries. What are your kids doing? How many more years of school do they have? What kind of life do you want to live? Do you feel comfortable with your money? This is where John Gray is so good at what he does, because he it's almost like a psychologist. He's taking in all of your life, and then the financial decisions he's helping you make are based on what you got going on, not just what your bank account is. And that's why I think he's the best. You need to work with him. Go to his webpage, DriscollGray.com. DriscollGray.com. He's got great market insights. You can find him. And he's incredibly approachable. And when you're watching on the Facebook Live, he works with people all over the country. So if you're watching us from another state, not based here in Alabama, he has clients all over the country, and that's why he travels. John Gray, DriscollGray.com.
Also want to thank Chris Doris, the State Farm team. Mm-hmm. They did a wonderful job. I stopped by his office a couple days ago. All of my insurance is through him. It's been with him since 1988. I know there's a lot of different ways you can go. And everyone talks about, if you move over here, we're going to save you money. It's not always what it's cracked up to be. They've got any type of situation within your budget, and you get the great service, the legendary status of Chris Doris, the State Farm team. And he's long recognized, one of the top 10 agents out of 18,500, there's probably more than that now, in the United States. He's great, and we have him right here in Birmingham, and he's a crown jewel. If you want the best of the best, and you know you're not getting screwed on how much you're spending on your insurance, check out Chris Doris' State Farm team, 205-985-7799, 985-7799. All right, so South Carolina, a couple days ago, lawmakers in South Carolina, the latest to pass bans prohibiting transgender athletes. From competing in women's sports in public schools and colleges, despite more than 1,000 amendments proposed by South Carolina Democrats, the state's Republican-led House of Representatives managed to pass their ban on Tuesday by an overwhelming 82-28 majority. It wasn't even close. Under the new law, transgender athletes will be required to compete as the gender listed on their birth certificate rather than the gender they personally identify with. The bill now goes to the desk of Republican Governor Henry McMaster, who has criticized the NCAA's decision to ban states with anti-transgender legislation from hosting championship games after South Carolina legislators proposed the now-passed bill, per WBTV. This on the heels of a very interesting race that was just done recently. Riley Gaines, a University of Kentucky swimmer, and I'll read you a couple things she said. She was in a close heat with Leah Thomas, of course, the UPenn transgender swimmer, and placed for fifth in a 200-yard freestyle NCAA championship that was last month. She said, despite the fact that, of course, Thomas has gone through everything that the NCAA said she needed to do, that it's not fair. While Thomas was competing within the rules, she's completed a year of testosterone suppressants per NCAA guidelines. Gaines said she believes the governing body was handling everything extremely poorly. She went on to say, I just know, talking to tons, and I'm talking tons of NCAA swimmers, that their athletic directors, their media people, and their coaches and other outside influencers have been telling them, don't say anything, just avoid this situation, save face a little bit. She said, but I'm just fortunate enough to have such an amazing support system here at the University of Kentucky, whether that be from the athletic director all the way down to my head coach. But just speaking for them is just totally wrong. I know I can't speak for everyone, but I'm almost certain, and I'm speaking for a large majority of female athletes, that this is just not okay and it's gone too far. We're dealing with something that's completely out of our control when we're racing biological men or males, where they have different lung capacities, their height, testosterone levels, whether you use testosterone blockers or not. It doesn't suppress going through your puberty as a male, through your adolescence as a male, especially Leah, who swam for 3 years as a male. It's completely unfair. It's a matter of equality, really. We talked about this, and I think we kind of cut right through it. Some things in life that aren't fair. We even kind of made a joke, and I'm not really joking, that maybe we should start transgender sports. In 50 years, we may have transgender sports. Roughly 0.6% of American adults in this country, which comes out to a little over a million people, identify themselves as transgender males or females. Now, out of that 0.6%, I don't know what that number is that play competitive sports or are in college, so it's got to be less a minuscule number. When we have two sides that don't agree, I hate to say that South Carolina did the right thing or that South Carolina had to even have a vote for this, but it's not fair to the rest of the females. Leah does not look like a woman. There's a lot of women who are women that don't look like women.
Thank you for saying that.
You watch the WNBA, you're like, jeez. I mean, they're all 6'8", and it's like, wow. Doesn't mean they're not women. But she's a foot taller than everybody else. She did compete as a male for 3 years. She has done everything the NCAA has asked her. So I'm not faulting her for this, okay? I'm not saying she's wrong. She's competing. She wants to compete. I don't think she's doing it to piss people off either. She's a good swimmer because she's winning races.
Plus she's transition. I mean, and this is not this is to defend her.
Yeah.
It's what you just said. Like, she did not transition to a female in order to compete and win.
Exactly.
Like, this is a much larger conversation.
And I think this is something that's new, relatively new, over the last 5 or 10 years. And normally when something's unprecedented or new, we're trying to feel our way through it and try to figure out what we want to do with it. But in this particular case, I don't think it's fair that she's being able to race as a girl. It's not fair to her, because if she identifies as transgender, or she females, or she identifies herself as a woman, and that's who she really believes she is, I believe that. But it doesn't mean she should be allowed to compete in other sports that other women compete in. I
hate
that we have to make laws because we're politicizing it now.
Right.
And it's Democrats and Republicans, because the Democrats are going to go, you should compete. Republicans are conservative. That's horrible.
So
that's the part that pisses me off.
I think a couple of things. One, this is also, let's not just call this, you didn't say this, but the whole idea of transgender, the whole idea of sexuality or sexual identity, it's not new. I'm not saying you said it, but it's not new. So let's get away from, you know, oh my God, there's a transgender epidemic and it's in the water and all of a sudden, this has been around, this stuff's been around. It's been around forever. The difference is, there's two differences. One, again, changes in societal norms, which I, this is my personal and professional belief, I think is important and good. We should be accepting individuals for who they are. The other piece is medical science, like particularly with transgender. We are understanding increasingly, like we do with everything else, more about genetics, more about physiology, more about sort of the chromosomes and the makeup of that. And what we know now is not what we knew 50 years ago, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
We used to, don't quote me on the date, 50 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, or maybe 30 years ago, homosexuality was considered a psychiatric disorder.
Yep.
Right? So my point is, we're figuring this out. Mm-hmm. We are clearly at one of the bumps in the road. We don't know. We're and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I do like the fact that the NCAA put out rules. She followed the rules. She won. People are upset about that. So now it causes us to go, okay, let's go look at, let's look deeper. Mm-hmm. Let's look deeper at the physiology. Let's look deeper at the genetics. Let's look deeper at the rules. And I think that's the point. We're not now where we're going to be with this. And I don't have a statement on it. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, it's unfair.
Yeah.
It's unfair. Is it unfair to say, or is it fair to say, look, you were born as a male, but physiologically, internally, you are a female. You've had the gender assignment surgery. The negative consequence is you can't compete in sports. Like, it's possible that we could say that. It's unfair. Sorry.
Well, we're talking about a really small portion of people. I'm not saying that just because you have a small portion of people, they shouldn't have their voices heard.
I think we are
to affect the entire athletic situation for females in general.
So the other
thing is if South Carolina is saying you must compete in the gender that you were born as, then a woman can compete in men's sports, I guess.
Absolutely.
The funny thing is if Leah hadn't been winning races, I don't know if we'd be talking about
that. Absolutely not.
And that's the other thing is, how many transgendered women out there are competing, but they're not winning races, and we're not raising any ire from it because races.
We should be.
She came in fifth here, and a woman tied her, so that kind of tells you something.
So we should, but you see that, and that's to me the part that is, if you're going to make the statement that it's not fair in general, then it's just, it's not fair.
Yeah.
If you're making this statement because somebody won, mm-hmm. it's just not, this is classic, we haven't got our heads around this thing yet.
Yeah.
We have not got our heads around this thing, and we are so quick to pass judgment on what is right and what is wrong and where to, you know why we do that? Because it makes us scared to live in the gray.
Yeah.
It makes us scared to live in the gray. What if?
Yeah.
What if?
Teresa Ponder, good morning to you. Thanks for watching this morning here on Facebook Live. This is Curry and Claypo Show, and of course you can hear us on our podcast, on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast platform on Spotify or Audio Boom. Just look up Tony Curry Podcast or Curry and Claypo Podcast. You can see our podcast and listen to them later. Yeah, the other thing that I think is really interesting about this whole situation, too, is, Leah's been kind of quiet through this whole process. She's competing. She wants to compete. I think it's like, when you have a transgender who's competed as a male for 3 years, and then all of a sudden she's a female and she's doing all the things. I don't know if she's had the surgery.
I don't know reassignment, but she's had the hormonal.
But she's done what the NCAA said she needed to do. Uh-huh. And this is the NCAA not wanting to piss people off either, because the NCAA is incredibly vanilla about a lot of things. They're like, oh, we don't want to make people angry. We're just kind of floating around, because they know that their situation is precarious as well. It's almost like when she's winning races and setting world records, and again, I don't know her resume of races and how well she's done. I know she's won a lot of races. She's won quite convincingly. It's almost like, okay, she's not woman enough yet. Like, we'll let you compete about 3 or 4 years when all this stuff takes, when you're more of the middle of the pack. But when you're blowing people away by 3 seconds, something ain't right. Something ain't right.
Well, yeah.
And that's where I think it scares a lot of people. And unfortunately, and I know a lot of mothers and fathers of female athletes who have gotten beaten by her aren't happy about that because they're like, my daughter wants to compete in college. Sure. She wants to compete at the next level. Maybe she wants to go to the Olympics. I don't know. What does the Olympic Committee say
about this? I don't know, because we're going to find out.
Because if she's that good and she wants to compete in the Olympics, is that allowed?
We've had, and I'm blanking on the athletes, we've had transgender athletes compete.
I mean, we have Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, but Caitlyn wasn't. Caitlyn was Bruce. Caitlyn wasn't competing.
Yeah.
Bruce competed.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a separation.
Bruce competed in men's sports, which typically have better numbers than female sports.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because you don't become, and by the way, you know.
If you're one of those runners, you got beat by a girl. Quite convincingly. Olympic records. Would you like to be that guy back in 1976? It's like, yeah, Bruce kicked my ass and now it's a woman.
No, but it's not.
It's a bad bar fight, man.
Oh, my God.
But, again, you're talking about a transgender situation or
that, I mean, that's the.
Years later.
Well, and he was not, when he was competing, when Bruce Jenner was competing, he was not competing in the process of gender reassignment.
Yeah.
He was a biological man competing as a biological man, recognizing that internally he was not a biological man.
Yeah.
I mean, that, and you know, look, I get why people are having a super hard time with this.
Mm-hmm.
It is confusing. It is.
and let me say this. I don't think it's because people are phobic. I don't think they're homophobic, transgenderphobic. I don't think they believe in LGBT. I just think they think it's not fair. If I had a daughter that was competing against Leah every single week and she was getting her ass beat, it would bother me. Because my daughter's not on the same playing field with this gal, and that would bother me. So, and it doesn't mean that I don't believe in what they want to do. I'm not out there doing protest and all these other different things. But, I mean, we want to pigeonhole those people going, obviously South Carolina is living in the Stone Age. No, they're not. They're just trying to make it fair for everybody. And you're talking about, again, a majority rules. You're talking about 50,000 females that don't think it's fair, and a very small portion of people saying, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, sometimes life ain't fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair. And you're like, I'm sorry, you can't compete. You cannot compete in this particular thing. Or you have to compete as a male. And I'd be interested to see her compete as a male. She may not want to do that. Is it fair to her? No, but I mean,
no.
We can't be fair to everybody. You can't. You can't be fair to everybody.
It's probably one of the most interesting athletic dilemmas we've ever had. I'm trying to think. Because, you know, if you think about when we separated based on race,
mm-hmm.
did we ever say, well, it's not fair for, you know, it was never, it's not fair for black athletes to compete because they have an advantage? Is that why we said, you know, we didn't do it on that.
No.
And I think
I'll bet you at some point, though, when Jackie Robinson came out.
Yeah.
That it's, listen, we always knee-jerk make responses
Absolutely.
That are not cool because we're afraid we're losing power.
Yeah,
that's
course.
The only reason. We're
of
afraid
course.
We're losing power. Sure, help them out. Let's do what we can to make them better. Until they take my job.
Which
or better
is
not
sad.
Come out of my back pocket. Yeah, or I don't want them living in my neighborhood. Sure, they can live around here, but not right next door to me.
It speaks to we are super primitive. We are little tiny children who are trying to figure this stuff out, and you throw things at us that we don't understand, and we always do two things. One, we try to instantly make it make sense, because if it doesn't make sense, then the world doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And there's some people who get stuck right there. It is right, it is wrong, it is this, it is that. Well, 95% of life doesn't work that way. 95% of life, maybe even 98% of life. But then when it doesn't work that way, we keep trying to cram people into boxes to make it feel better to us,
mm-hmm.
until which time it hangs around long enough that we start, well, we adapt or perish. We start adapting.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Now I understand. And this is why we always tell people, look, before you make a judgment, seek to understand.
Yeah.
Seek to understand. Amen. Where this person, stop making your judgments about what is right and what is wrong if you don't understand where they're coming from. If you don't understand their story, you can still make the judgment later. But that's our greatest flaw. It's how we got all messed up in COVID. It's how we get into wars. You name it. It's because what we do is we dig into our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And our comfort zone rarely is grounded 100% in reality.
Yeah.
It's grounded in...
Well, much of it's grounded in ignorance.
Well, yeah, because to think otherwise,
yeah,
would mean that our world isn't predictable, isn't, yeah, what we think it is. And the most interesting, powerful people in the world, ultimately, are those who are able to be curious about other possibilities in the world. I was hesitating because I'm thinking about Putin.
Yeah.
He's probably not thinking about other possibilities in the, yeah, world. But when you're able to do that, dude, life's a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
It is.
It really is. I was watching a story on, it was like how it really happened. I think it's a CNN thing. And they were doing all classic rock artists the other day. They were doing, they did Tom Petty, and then I saw the one on Glenn Frey. And I had forgotten how Glenn Frey had died. I love Glenn Frey, founder of the Eagles.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Just found out this morning that Deacon Frey, who is his son, who has been playing in the band with Vince Gill to cover their bases, is now going out on his own. And he's been playing with the Eagles for about 4.5 years since his dad died.
He's leaving?
He's going to go out and do his own thing, and the Eagles released something late last night saying, we're proud of him. Thanks for your 4.5 years of service. No one expected that Deacon was going to be able to sing or play like his dad.
Right.
He was 24 years old when he joined the band, right? A little Wolfgang Van Halen kind of feel there, but he was willing to play his dad's music, and it was a great, and so he's going out and doing his own thing. And
by the way, that's some awesome mentoring.
It really is. Yeah. And I had forgotten that Glenn had died of rheumatoid arthritis.
No, he had cancer.
No. His cause of death was rheumatoid arthritis. And
how can you die of rheumatoid arthritis?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up.
Thank you.
You're a psychologist. Because I had remembered that, and there's still a lawsuit, by the way, by his widow with his doctors because she feels like he was not served as well. Now, like a lot of different things, one little thing, in this particular case, a pretty big thing, a rheumatoid arthritis, can put you in the hospital. And then obviously by being set out, it starts affecting other parts of your body. So when you have rheumatoid arthritis in certain joints in your body, and you're not using those bodies, then the rest of your body is not being used as well, and it's systematic. It starts to you know, basically go into your entire body, and then it turns out to be pneumonia, and it ends up killing you. Pneumonia wasn't the cause, but rheumatoid arthritis.
I thought he died of cancer.
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
he had a part of his large intestine taken out.
Yes.
He had all kinds of colitis. Yeah, he had all these different issues.
Oh, did he have Crohn's disease?
I'm not sure it was Crohn's disease. But it was really interesting. But his cause of death was, and you're like, you never heard of that. And I remember hearing about that because he died roughly right after they got off the road. And
yeah.
It's kind of like, dude, I just saw him a month ago. What happened? And what we didn't realize is he was going through a lot of pain. The road wore his ass out. It was very, very difficult. And I think he passed away at like the age of 67 or something like that. But the Eagles are still on the road, and they're going to be playing Columbus, Ohio, I think April 19th. They're playing a couple dates up there. And I think it's interesting because really, as long as Glenn Frey is gone and Don Henley's still in the band,
we're okay.
We're still okay. And I saw some post on Facebook for Black Jacket Symphony. They're going to be doing some big show where they're playing like all their favorite songs they've ever done over the last 20 years. It's a great organization, great band. And they're sold out. They're going to kill it. And I'm thinking in our time now where all these rock and rollers obviously are getting older, we want to go see them one last time. You know,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
I know, I mean, it's right, but the way you just said it.
But it's like, I almost don't want to know who's in the band anymore. I mean, there's only one surviving member, Leonard Skinner, but they're still killing it, right? And they sound better than they ever have. And so I think it's really interesting because, you know, we came from this, well, the lead singer's not in the band, I ain't going.
Right.
Well, Journey's still going. You know, there's still bands without their lead singer or their songwriter. They're still getting after it. And so I'm thinking to myself, Because it looks like the Eagles are just going to play out. Like they're just going to go.
Yes.
Like they're going to continue to play out.
Until there's
and I'm thinking to myself, if Don Hadley died.
Oh, jeez. You can't.
Would they still be able to go on?
No. You'd have to get, I mean, you know what you were saying?
Like, what member of the band would it take?
Don Henley.
But, I mean, name another band. Like, if you told me Steve Perry wasn't touring with Journey,
I would. Not, because they got a cover guy.
Yeah, and he sounds better than Steve Perry.
So here's what I was thinking, as you were talking about Black Jacket Symphony.
Yeah.
Who are just amazing. I mean, this is terrible. This is so morbid that I'm even going here.
Let's go.
Are we going to start having to recruit? You know, there's all the cover bands.
Yeah.
Right? There's all these cover bands out there that are, they're doing their own, they've kind of got their own niche. We are a cover band. We are the Zeppelin cover band. Yeah. We are the
Fleetwood Mac cover band.
Right, exactly. And then with Black Jacket Symphony, which is interesting, is we cover other bands.
Yeah.
Are these groups going to, they're going to have to start recruiting? Like the Eagles.
Black Jacket Symphony does.
No, the Eagles are going to have to go to Black Jacket Symphony. Hey, we heard that. Come on up. They're going to have to start doing that.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen? Is that the cover bands are going to get recruited up? I don't know if it's up, over, because you sound good enough.
Well, first of all, is these cover bands are willing to play a lot more shows. Yeah. They'll play year-round because it's how they make their living. If I wanted to go, like AC/DC, I'm waiting for their tour information. I thought for sure, I talked to the record label and they said we'd hear something by the end of March, and here we are April 7th and we haven't heard anything. And if an AC/DC cover band came through town, I'd hope they'd be pretty good. They must be. If they're a cover band, they're coming to Birmingham, whatever. Right. I would go see them because I'm not sure if I want to be able to see the real AC/DC. Right. And they may sound better. I hate to say it. And people are like, how the hell can you say that?
Because
they're 24, 25.
And they've studied everything that they've done.
I mentioned I was in Tuscaloosa at a football game 15, 20 years ago. And the Platters, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, was playing some bar in Tuscaloosa. And I was like, dude. So I went in there, and it was 4 23-year-old black dudes with the same suits on, doing the same moves, and they had bought the name out of the Platters, and they were performing as the Platters. They were the new Platters.
Yeah.
But they had all the rights to all the music and everything else.
I think they did.
And they were great. And it took me, I felt like I was in some surreal X-Files alienated kind of, like I was back in the 60s. Like everything was black and white, and I was like, what the hell's going on? But they were really good.
I feel like there are certain bands, I was going to say there's a few, there are certain bands, you can rattle them off far better than me, that you can't replace everybody. Like, you know, so with Journey, we have a new lead singer.
Yeah. As long as there's like one guy left, was like the timepiece, like Neil Sean still in the band,
that's what I said.
Kane still in the band.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like, so if you think about the Eagles, I think it's a really good example. So we lost Glenn Frey. We brought in his son. We got Vince Gill. Their type of music, everybody sings. Everybody plays every damn instrument for the most part. People are coming up and down and back and forth. They've got multiple hits with multiple band members on lead.
Yeah.
You know, so there's like, I don't know what the word is. There's more permutations and combinations. Okay, we're not going to play that song, but we're going to play more Henley songs. And, you know, and Vince Gill will back up, etc. But you're right. It's kind of like at some point the Eagles, in my view, I actually talked to my wife about this the other day. I mean, I cried when Glenn Frey died.
Yeah.
When Don Henley goes, this is just a personal, like of all the bands, of all the music that I grew up with, that is the one that speaks to my heart the most. When that guy goes, you're going to see me crying. Because it's like my whole childhood all the way up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think the Eagles tour. I mean, look at the Stones. I was thinking about the groups that only have three.
Yeah.
You know, when Mick Jagger goes, what are you going to do? You're not going to have what are you going to do?
See, but they're so old at this point in their upper 70s that I think they've toured extensively. You know, a lot more than we ever thought over the last 15, 20 years that I think will be good with, you know. You may have a Rolling Stones cover band. I'm sure there's a Rolling Stones cover band. It's certainly not going to be. The thing about the Rolling Stones, though, is it's such a huge event.
Yes.
You can't have cover bands with big, giant blow-ups and flyovers and everything else. Fleetwood Mac's done a great job. I mean, they've had tours without Stevie Nicks. They've done tours without Lindsey Buckingham.
That's true.
Half the time you go to the show and you're like, is she even here? But they sound fantastic. But as long as Mick Fleetwood's back there rapping the Skins, you're like, that's good.
I think the Eagles, I can't think of a classic rock band now who's intact.
I just wonder what the Eagles are going to sound like in 40 years.
Well, 40? Yeah, they'll all be dead.
I mean, if they're continually, they brought in Deacon, he's gone. If they're going to have to bring somebody else in, right?
Oh, you know what
they
it is?
They got rid of Randy Meisner, they brought in Don Felder and Joe
Walsh. You know
Walsh,
what it is?
And they keep this bringing guys in.
This is, so this is interesting. Now we have sports parallel. If they're a franchise, they're the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Lakers.
Yeah.
We don't expect all of them to be there forever.
No.
We just need to keep recruiting and finding the next one.
No, I remember the Phoenix Suns when Charles Barkley played for them. Right now, they're killing it. They're the best team in basketball.
Interesting. Well, then the other question becomes, do the Eagles or any of these bands who are still intact morph into a different style of music? Not dramatically different. Again, if we're going to use sports analogy, right? So you know, depending on the team, well, Belichick's a great example, the Patriots. How much have they Alabama football?
Mm-hmm.
We run. You know? Oh, look, now we're doing a hurry-up offense.
Yeah.
And over a certain period of time, we're like, oh, yeah, that's Alabama. They've adapted.
The difference with sports, though, is sports never ends. Alabama football will be here for 300 more years.
Well, why couldn't you?
It won't. I mean, it's been around for 100 years.
No. I'm saying, what you do with that? Change it. Start having recruiting. G League Eagles.
And
that's
beyond
you
me.
Could.
Yeah. Something we are going to change.
I just ruined your world.
I know.
Classic rock would live forever.
By the way, today's opening day. I know you hate baseball. I love
baseball.
Why?
I should take this back. I do not hate baseball. I have nothing against baseball. Yeah. It does nothing. You know what baseball is to me?
Yeah.
I'm going to just get slammed for this. Baseball is to me what soccer is to you.
I don't mind soccer.
Well, I don't mind baseball.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I enjoy going to a game.
Yeah.
I don't really like it. It's boring.
Yeah.
It's boring. I love the highlights.
Yeah.
Highlights are awesome.
Yeah.
It's too long. Too boring, and I have a dear friend of mine who I grew up with who's a baseball fanatic, and I've said to him, I'm like, I hate it. He's like, because you don't think about baseball the right way. And I'm like, what? They stand out there, they hit the ball, and they never hit the ball, and if you hit the ball 30% of the time,
yeah,
it's awesome. And, like, and he's like, it's strategy. It's all strategy. It's all you have to think about. The pitcher, like, okay, I will give you that. Like, I will give it. When you go to a game and you go watch a game, he's a Phillies fan. Like, you go watch a game and you're thinking about, you know, which pitch and which thing, and that's all great. But that, for me, that's like watching a chess match.
Yep.
It's all strategy.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you about the stealing of the signs thing. Because
yes.
I have a.
They just okayed a new device to do that.
Okay, so I don't understand this. I really don't understand this. Help me here because I'm a baseball idiot.
Yeah.
What is, if you are not committee, like if you see somebody on the other team throwing a sign,
mm-hmm,
and you figure out what it is,
yes,
and you don't have
okay,
like you, so that's okay.
Sure, it is.
What is not okay?
You have a lot of guys standing on second base stealing the signs of the catcher and letting the batter know what the next pitch is coming.
So what's not okay?
Can't use any video. You can't use video types of things, and then, like, we get into the whole Houston Astros thing. You can't use video to do that. You steal signs. That's why you see coaches holding their play sheets up to their mouths, so you can't read the words.
But why can't you use video? You can't use secret video, but couldn't you have your video in a game?
No. You can't use any video to steal signs.
Well, but
you can't use a technology. You can read lips. You can see their signs. I mean, we're still primitive, right? We're still go over the third base.
Yeah.
Coach is touching his face and doing all those things. You can steal those all you want because you're smart enough to figure it out. Do it.
But what about in a replay?
Huh?
What about in a, you know, again, if you're studying tape.
Yeah.
And you figure out the signs because you're watching the game.
You can watch tape all you want and try to figure it out, but you cannot use tape during a game to steal the signs during a particular game.
Or in football. Football, we're recording the games.
Yeah. Yeah, you can sit there, obviously you're watching a team's offensive plays, and they have a tendency to do this.
Right.
It's not stealing signs, it's just being smart.
No, but when they do this, if we look
over... Would that be like having the headsets of your opposing quarterback?
Okay, well that you can't have. So what is...
stealing signs, I mean, it's stealing their plays.
Okay.
Or having their play sheet. You can't do that. Now, if they leave their play sheet in your locker room and you know it, it's okay. You left it there that I can
use. Do you have that in any other sport? I mean, football, I guess.
That's why baseball is strategy.
Stupid.
You're a psychologist. You're out of
like, performance-enhancing drugs, I get that.
Yeah.
Stealing signs, come on.
Yeah. All right, coming up here in about 22 minutes, we're going to be on Fox 6. We're going to be talking more about Tiger Woods this morning with our...
Are you going to say that he's an alien on TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's impossible. You can't have five knee surgeries and five back surgeries and be competing for the Masters. If he wins, the aliens have won.
Do you really think... Let me ask you this. Do you think he'll win?
No.
Yeah.
I think he'll compete. I think he'll make the cut.
Yeah, I think he'll get tired.
But if he makes a cut, I think it's a win for him. Obviously, he doesn't think it's a win. But I do want to know what's going on. Whatever happened to sex addiction? Whatever happened to that? Listen, I can speak first and foremost on this. Relapse is part of the process. The stock market never goes like this. It goes like this, right?
Yeah.
That's why it takes average smoker takes 9 relapses to finally kick the
habit. He's got that managed. It's not fixed. He's got that managed. Really? We don't know what he's doing. We don't know what... Look.
Who's he with right now?
I don't know. Maybe he's not. He's a dad. He's playing with his son.
So if you don't want to drink, you just keep all the beer out of the house. So you're just saying he keeps tail out of the house so he doesn't have to deal with it?
Yeah. Or he's learned how to manage it. So that it's...
That kind of went by the wayside, right?
Didn't he go to someplace? That's why he's an alien or he's... Look, he's either an alien or he has the most incredible PR team we've ever seen ever.
And see, that's the hard thing to understand here. We can talk about this on Fox 6 this morning. If you are so disciplined in your skill enough to go through 10 different surgeries and still compete at the highest level, then how can you not be disciplined in every other aspect of your life?
Oh, no, it's exactly the opposite. Because you've squeezed it so tight.
That you just have to let it go. It's an escape. So what's the escape? Is the escape the undisciplined life, or is the escape the disciplined life?
No, because
I think Tiger Woods goes to golf as an escape because he's so good at it. It's like, this is what I know. This is what I can do.
It's
I
safe.
Know I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the rest of his life is like...
Well, it's a mess.
Yeah.
His safe world is on the course.
Yeah.
I think that's for a lot of athletes. I think for a lot of athletes, it's what we were talking about in the beginning. For a lot of athletes, like, this is what I know. This is what I'm good at. This is what I can control. And this is why you see the rest of their lives, not all athletes, but a lot of times is challenging.
Yeah.
Because I can't raise my kids the way I can control the golf course.
Yeah.
My relationship with my spouse, it doesn't work the way my basketball game works.
And the other thing about golf, unlike any other sport, is it's you against the golf course.
Well, but
when you're a golfer, you're not playing other golfers. You're playing the golf course. If you shoot a 66 every night, you're going to win.
Yeah, but they've talked about the infamous Tiger Woods, like, I don't know what you call it. It's like golf talking trash.
Yeah.
He stands over you. Like, he does all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, people could do that to him too. But he doesn't let that affect him. He's like, he's playing the golf course. Every golfer will tell you that. I'm not playing DeChambeau. I'm not playing those guys. I'm playing the golf course. If I can beat the golf course, then I can win tournaments.
Except when Tiger Woods is playing with you.
Yeah, if you're the final force and Tiger Woods is standing over you.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, talk about that on Fox 6. That was good. We could just replay that at 9:35 this morning. We'll be live on Fox 6. Make sure you download the Tony Curry Radio app. We do classic rock 24 hours a day. You can also go to Spotify, where we get your favorite podcast. We have well over 100 different shows, everything from Blues Almighty, The Damon Johnson Show, When in Rome, Live Wire Wednesday, Mission Minded, Adapter Paris with Adaptogenist Dr. Alex Ublin and Dr. Josh Claypo, Dark Side of the Pooch on Mondays, the classic hip-hop show, Tony Curry Live, the Curry and Claypo show. They're all up on Spotify. Go listen to them. Binge them. Listen to them. They're great. Everything is wonderful on Spotify. Go listen to them. It's free. And you can listen to all of our shows. Just search Tony Curry Radio. That's Curry with a K-K-U-R-R-E, Tony Curry Radio. And listen to all the stuff. And thanks for watching this morning on Facebook Live on Fox 6 in about 17 or 18 minutes here on Tony Curry Live.